Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to our Harvest Thanksgiving service. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online at this time or later in the day or the week. It is good to have you with us. We gather today in a spirit of gratitude, giving thanks for the fruits of the earth and the labour of many hands. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 147, verses 1 to 4 and verse 7 of hymn 147, all creatures of our God and King. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 67. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. Let us pray. Creator God, we come together today to celebrate your bountiful provision and to give thanks for the harvest now safely gathered in. You are the source of all life. You are the one who sends the sunshine and the rain, and you are the one who crowns the year with goodness. Lord God, we praise you for the life that sustains our life, for the good and fertile earth, and for the fruits of the fields, gardens, and seas. Generous God, as we celebrate and give thanks for the miracle of growth and the constant cycle of summer and winter, seed time and harvest, we remember those who have no harvest to celebrate and who lack food to eat and clean water to drink. Loving God, touch the hearts of those who have plenty, that we may show our gratitude by sharing what we have and doing all we can to create a fairer and more just world, a world in which all will have cause to give thanks for their daily bread. Creator God, you have given us so much and blessed us in ways beyond our deserving. Teach us to use your gifts wisely, responsibly, and effectively, so that nothing may be wasted or foolishly squandered. And grant to us and all people a genuine desire to look after and protect the creation, which is the work of your hands. Generous God, for the life of the world, you gave Jesus to be our Saviour and our Lord. So in our lives, the fruits of the Spirit, and let us glorify you through how we live and treat one another. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. A few intimations, but firstly a word of thanks to everyone who came along to the afternoon tea in the hall last Tuesday. It was a great afternoon. Thanks to the Tuesday group, to the committee, and for thanks to those who provided such a wonderful selection of sandwiches and baking. A lot of us didn't feel hungry at tea time. It was a case of waiting until later on before we were able to have something else to eat. So thank you to all concerned. Thank you also to those who came along to the soup and sandwich lunch yesterday. And thank you to those who prepared the food for us to enjoy. There'll be a further time of fellowship following the service here in the church today. Please do stay behind for a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit if you can. At this harvest time, we are supporting WaterAid. Envelopes can be returned any Sunday throughout this month. Alternatively, you can give online through WaterAid's own website. There'll be an organ recital in Dollar Parish Church this afternoon. The recital will be given by Tony and Lynn in order to celebrate the harvest, and that will be from 2:30 to 4:30. So if you're in or around Dollar, please do go along. There'll be a Songs of Praise service this evening in Dunblane Cathedral at 7 p.m. The moderator of the General Assembly will be in attendance and again, everyone will be welcome. The moderator is presently visiting part of the Presbytery of Perth, and along with our own session clerk, Jake and I attended a lunch on Wednesday in Comrie, where we met the moderator and she addressed us. That was another occasion when we were sitting, well, filling our stomachs. Stilling kicks together, here I go again, a friendship lunch. It's all about food. A friendship lunch will be held in Park Church Hall on Wednesday at 12 noon. All welcome. There'll be a meeting of the Social and Fundraising Committee in the McMichael Chapel, that's the room here at the church, a week tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and new members will be welcome. We'll be thinking about different ways in which we can have social events that bring the congregation together. And next year we'll mark the 275th anniversary of the opening of this lovely church building. So we want to be thinking about ways in which we will mark that special occasion. The first in a series of Bible studies will be held in the McMichael Chapel a week on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. The studies will be very informal. And the first one will explore the question, is there more to life than this? And there'll be subsequent studies the following four Tuesdays. And then we'll resume the studies again at the beginning of next year. But that's a week on Tuesday, 7 o'clock, here in the McMichael Chapel at the church. Everyone will be welcome. Don't let the word study put you off. Very informal. There'll be humour and good fellowship, I'm sure. And I think that concludes. No, one more. The final garden tidy, the tidying of the church grounds, will be a week on Tuesday. A week on Tuesday at 1:30. And dare I say, that will be followed by tea in the church hall at 3 o'clock. So that might entice some more people to come along. But that's the final garden party for this session, a week on Tuesday, 1:30. And now, Christine is going to read the first of our lessons today.
Our first reading today is Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. Come, let us sing for the Lord, for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Second reading comes from Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. We sing the hymn 155, hymn 155, Think of a World Without Any Flowers.
This time I invite any young people or the young at heart even to come forward. Sorry, my own children can at least come forward, plus some of those that hopefully might not know me yet, but hopefully I'll get to know you as time goes on. And we're going to see if my technology works here. Hey, all right, good. Come on up. My name is Jake. I don't think I've met you two yet, but very nice to meet you. So while they're coming forward, I'm going to say that last hymn we sang, how many of you have sung that hymn before? All right, so I'm not the only one who's never sung that hymn before. I'm not familiar with it, but I actually quite liked it because it paints this picture in our minds of this, you know, it says, think of a world without any flowers, without any trees, without any sunshine. So it paints a really vivid image of in our minds of all the things in creation that we love and that we enjoy and that we care about and care for. And then it says to, you know, thank God for all those things, because imagine if they weren't there. What would the world be like without sunshine and trees and flowers? So along those same lines, I've got some pictures I'm going to show you, and I apologize to the folks at home and also those of you who are far away. We'll try to describe the pictures. I couldn't blow them up quite big enough for everyone to see. And as you look at these pictures, I want you to tell me which one of these pictures gives you hope, which gives you like a hopeful feeling, like a picture of hope. Does that make sense? Like, that makes me feel hopeful. So how about the first one? We have a mountain scene with flowers and sunshine. Does that make you feel kind of hopeful? All right, so I got some nods. Good. All right. Next one, a couple children running through an apple orchard. I mean, that to me feels pretty hopeful, right? My own daughter's like, no hope. Where she says, what if they slip on an apple? Here's the pessimist of the group. All right, next one, a baby in a crib. And what's more hopeful than a baby, right? Baby in a crib, hope, life, all those things. How about the next one? Family sitting down to a meal, sharing a meal together, any make you feel hopeful at all? You're like, yeah, maybe. All right, so it feels kind of hopeful, like people enjoying each other's company. And a fishing boat going out to sea, looking for fish, hoping for a harvest. And all right, we got some hope, and again, my own daughter, no. We'll have a talk later when we go home. So, all right, so those, let's see, what do we got? No, there's nothing there. How about that one? Does that make you feel very hopeful? It's just a big empty room. You're being a contrarian, aren't you? So, empty room, does that make you feel very hopeful? Not really, right? It's kind of a rundown empty room. And a guy just sitting alone in a room. Does that make you feel very hopeful? Not particularly. This looks kind of sad. How about that one? Just dead trees. Not a lot of hope there, right? How about that one? It's a barren field of dirt and cracked earth. Doesn't sound very hopeful. And how about that one? That's a little tricky. There's a cross. So we've got a picture of a little rusty metal cross and kind of a fall scene. Does that one give you hope? Yeah, that one's a little tricky, right? So I show you these pictures to get us to thinking about. So what, when you looked at the pictures that gave you hope, what about those pictures gave you some hope? Can you tell me like something about them? You guys are so talkative. It's early in the morning. Go ahead. Sunshine and flowers. Yeah, sunshine, warmth, things like that give you hope, right? What else? Anything else?
New growth.
Thank you. So new growth, like family coming together. Those things kind of give us hope, right? And what about the pictures that made you feel not so hopeful? What do they have in common?
Loneliness.
That's a big one. Yeah. empty. So emptiness, loneliness, she said they kind of made her nervous. I think the one in the fishing boat that was supposed to be hopeful, that made her nervous because you don't know what's out there. The sea can be chaotic. Well, I want to think about those pictures, and as well, the cross as well. So the cross, that one's a little tricky. You guys, I'm not sure what to think about that. It's kind of a bleak scene, but we know the meaning of the cross. So the meaning of the cross gives us hope in the midst of that bleakness. Well, I would say we tend to feel hopeful when things in front of us are looking good, right? When we have a good picture in front of us. Maybe it's a picture like this, or maybe it's just the picture of our lives looks good. We have, you know, our friends are getting along, our families are supportive, we have, you know, food on our tables, a roof over our head, things are looking good, so we feel hopeful. But sometimes when things aren't looking so good, we don't feel quite as hopeful, right? If maybe we're sick, we don't feel well, don't feel very hopeful. Maybe someone we care about is having a hard time, we feel kind of, feel not very hopeful. Or it's just on those days that are just bleak outside, dreek, as I'm learning that word. I didn't say it quite right, but those kind of days, you don't feel quite as hopeful, right? So I would argue, though, that believe it or not, in all those pictures and all those times, all those pictures actually contain hope. Because there's hope in those pictures, because in all things, in all times, in all those places in the pictures, God is with us. So at good times and bad times, God is with us. In an empty room where we're sitting alone, or in a room full of family and friends and food, God is with us in both those times. And we see that truth most clearly when we look at that picture of the cross. Because on the cross, it reminds us of how Jesus went to this place where there probably didn't feel like there was much hope on the cross. But at the same time, that was the place where God most clearly showed us his love and his forgiveness and his care for each one of us. So as you might know, today, and you probably don't know this yet, my own daughter again, but today is the day we call Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday. And it's a day that we think about the harvest and all of the people that give us hope, that give us harvest, the farmers, the fishermen, people who bring in the things that give us life and give us food and nourishment. So are any of you farmers? Anybody? Like I said, I just met some of you, so I don't know. Any farmers in the room? Anybody who knows a farmer, there we go. All right, we'll go with that. But I think farmers are some of the most hopeful people I can think of. Because if you remember that picture, there was one picture I showed you that was just a big field of dirt, right? Now, when I look at that picture, I just see a big field of dirt. There's not a lot of hope in that picture. It's cracked earth, dry ground. But a farmer, when they look at that field, they might see hope. They might see, well, if we have the right amount of water, the right amount of seeds, the right kind of seeds, and a little bit of sunshine, we can make this barren field turn into a place that brings a harvest that could feed an entire community. So when we look into those bleak places, we have to remember, just like that farmer, you know, God sees hope. When he looks at you in those bleak times, God sees hope. So there's a psalm we read just a little bit ago that says we are to come into God's presence with joy and thanksgiving, which is what today is about. And it tells us that in God's hands are the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountains. So the low points and the high points. In his hands are the sea and the dry land. So every single part of creation, every single part of our lives are held in God's hands. So that's the reason we can always have hope and we can always trust in God, because God is trustworthy and God is always with us in all those different times. So today on Thanksgiving Harvest Sunday, we give thanks for the harvest and we give thanks for hope and we always give thanks to God. So I thank you guys for coming up and being so attentive. So thank you. You can go back. I had to remember which hymn we were singing. Right now, we will continue to give thanks to God through our voices as we sing the hymn 231. That's 231, for the fruits of all creation.
And now Andrew is going to come and read our gospel lesson.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Who of you, by worrying, can add to a single hour of his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, we will eat not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Thank you very much, Andrew. That was excellent. I think Andrew deserves a round of applause. And looking very smart as well. It's just lovely to have you and your family with us as part of our family here in St. Ninian's. Now, a prayer. Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, for the earth and fruits of creation, we give you thanks. For the sun and rain that nourishes the seeds, we give you thanks. For farmers and all who work tirelessly to bring in the crops and process our food, we give you thanks. For the simple but precious gifts of each day, the comfort of our homes, and the love of our families and friends, we praise your holy name. Generous God, who clothes the grass and the fields and feeds the birds of the air, in a world of inequality, we pray for neighbours near and far, remembering especially those whose lives are marked by scarcity and suffering. We pray for those affected by war and displacement. We pray for individuals and families worrying about their next meal, and for those experiencing hunger and isolation. Lord God, you call us to be generous. We pray for the work of Water Aid, Food Banks, Christian Aid, and all relief agencies. Bless them, and grant that we may give our support, that the poor and vulnerable may be helped. Creator God, in a world of uncertainty, we hold on to the hope found in your enduring promises and unfailing love. Root out, we pray, all causes of hatred and violence, such as was evident in Manchester on Thursday. Gracious God, as the seasons turn, remind us that you are a God of new beginnings and a God of constant renewal. Gracious God, as we dedicate ourselves and our offerings to you, Plant in us a vision for a world where no one goes hungry or thirsty. And continuing the work of our Saviour, let us not rest until all have food to eat, fresh, clean water to drink, and a place to call home. And now, O God, as we thank you for the hope that is at the heart of our faith, we pray for those who are lonely, for those who are sick, in hospital or at home. And we pray for all who mourn, remembering as we do the family and friends of Madge McAllister, Ian McNair, and John Donaldson. Be to them and all in our thoughts at this time a source of comfort, of healing, and of peace. These things we humbly ask, along with the silent prayers of our hearts, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I was amused with Jake using the word dreich. That really is a right Scottish word, isn't it? You're fair picking up the lingo, as they say. And we had a great time on Friday morning, I think it was, when we were in St. Ninian's Primary School at the two assemblies, and the children greatly took to Jake. I think many of them thought he had flown directly from America just to speak to them that morning. But they'll be seeing a lot of him in the coming months. We're going to sing another harvest hymn, hymn 230, Praise God for the Harvest of Orchard and Field.
Thank you.
You may be seated. There's a story of an accomplished farmer who was a master at his trade. And not only was he a master at farming, but he was also something of a scientist. So, in fact, he was so good at what he did that he had developed these genetically modified seeds that would grow plants in any sort of condition, in summer and winter and dry weather and wet weather. He could grow anything, anywhere, and could grow whatever people needed whenever they needed it. So one day, God decided to pay him a visit and congratulate him on all his hard work. He came to the farmer and said, "You know, I am really quite impressed with what you've done. You've really used all of the gifts that I have given you to do amazing things. You know, well done." And the farmer responded saying, "Well, you know, thank you, God. I think you're right. I really have become just a master at all of this growing and harvesting business. In fact, you know, I can grow whatever I need anywhere, anytime. I can produce my own seeds. So, in fact, I don't really think we need you anymore, God. You know, you can go back to wherever it is that you hang around when you're not, you know, hanging around down here. Go back to heaven or wherever you spend your time." So God looked at the farmer and said, "Well, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe I could use a little break, as you say. So I'll tell you what. We'll have a little contest, and if you win, I'll go hang out in heaven and leave you alone, and you can provide for the people." And the farmer said, "Well, sure, that sounds great. What's the contest?" And God said, "Well, how about grow a tomato plant by the end of the week?" And the farmer looked at him and said, "Just a tomato plant? That's pretty simple. That's easy." So he got to work. He took measurements of the soil, the air, the humidity, looked at the long-range forecast for that week, and picked the perfect seed that would grow quickly during that week. And he looked at God and said, "Really, God, I really don't need you. I have everything I need. I can produce everything on my own." And God said, "Oh, okay." So the farmer leaned down, picked up a handful of dirt, and God looked at him and said, He said, "Get your own dirt." So we sometimes have a way of thinking, you know, taking our harvest for granted, right? We think we can produce what we need. We have all the things we need without God's help. But today is a special time when we really step back and recognize that God has provided all these things for us. So we thank God for his incredible provisions in our lives. And we even thank God for the dirt. And in the Bible passage that Andrew read so wonderfully just a moment ago, Jesus tells his disciples, "Do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or what you will wear. Look at the birds. They don't sow or harvest, but God feeds them. Look at the lilies in the field. You know, they get what they need, and they don't toil or spin. They don't fret or worry, but God takes care of them." So if God takes care of all of these things and all of his creation, how much more will God take care of you, even when you are of little faith? So this passage reminds us that God has given us everything we need to live and thrive and survive in this world. He's given us the seeds we plant, the fruit we pick, the water we drink, and even the dirt that we stand upon and plant those things in. So in the beginning, it tells us God created and provided for his creation. And we celebrate today, and really we recognize every day, that God continues to create and provide for us and for all his creation. So as we celebrate and give thanks for the harvest, we give thanks for that abundance that we experience, and we give thanks for the hope that we experience in that creation and the recognition that God is with us in those moments of harvest. It's an interesting thing in that passage from Matthew that we read. When we hear Jesus speak in that gospel reading, it seems as if he's telling us that you don't need to do anything and God will take care of us, which I think is what he's saying. It is true. God's love and care doesn't depend on what we do or how much we can produce. Our value and our worth are not dependent on how well-behaved we are, how well-dressed we are, or how hard-working we are. And in that passage from Matthew, Jesus does a wonderful job, a beautiful job of assuring us that God provides for each of us, that God cares for each of us, no matter what, without exception. But knowing that, we also know that God has given us the privilege of participating in that creation. the privilege of participating and providing for God's people in need. We know, you know, we know that if we do nothing, if we sit on our chairs all winter long, winter will come as winters do, and in the spring, things will grow. Flowers will grow where flowers grow. The weeds or the moss or maybe grass will grow wherever that grows. But we also know that if we put effort in, if we work at it, if we plant seeds in the fall, or if we tend our gardens in the spring, we can participate in that creation. And that creation will produce more of a harvest. It will produce more of what we want, and it will produce more that we can share with people in need. So God is consistent in that God is faithful in what he gives us everything we need for growth and for life. But more than just providing those things for us while we sit on our backs, God invites us to be a part of that creative act. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing, that through planting, through pruning, through harvesting, through watering, through tending God's good creation, you know, we can participate in making sure that everyone has everything they need to live and thrive and survive. And I believe that when we participate in that act of creation, it is a great act of hope. As I talked about with the kids earlier, when a farmer plants that seed in the ground, that is a great act of hope. You know, thinking back to those farmers, they put seeds in the ground and they trust God's creation to do what God's creation is supposed to do. When they bury a seed in the ground, even though it sits in the dark, even sometimes through the entire winter season, they trust, and it's an act of faith that they trust that when spring comes, that seed will grow and bear fruit. They believe it will yield a harvest. And the same is true of all the people who provide all of those things that we need to live and thrive and survive. Think of the fishermen that go out to sea. They go out to sea with the faith and hope that creation will do what it is supposed to do, what God has created it to do. And when they put their nets down, they will bring in a yield of fish. So today, again, as we celebrate this harvest Thanksgiving, we give thanks for all of the people who, through those acts of faith and through all of those acts of hope, they work with creation to give us the things that we need in our lives. And we thank God for God's faithfulness, God's trustworthiness, for how we see God's reliability through creation and through the harvest. Now, on that note, I'm going to bring the kids forward, if you're willing to come forward one more time for just a short bit. I have something for you this time, so you're not going to leave empty-handed. So as you come forward and you look a little closer, who knows what this is? You guys know what that is? Looks kind of like a little onion or a piece. You guys know what it is? A shallot, looks kind of like a shallot. This is a flower bulb, and I love the image of a flower bulb because I think it's one of the best images that we have for God's faithfulness and God's trustworthiness. Because if you look at it, it doesn't look like much, right? It looks like a little, like a shallot or an onion, or maybe, you know, some of these you might even think are just dead. You stick them, something you'd find on the ground, just a dead piece of a plant. But if you plant this in the ground, you know, this week, next week, the week after, sometime, plant it in the ground. It'll stay in the ground all through the darkness of winter, through the cold of winter, and it'll be in that dark earth. But when spring comes, this little guy springs to life, and a flower will grow out of him. These are actually tulip bulbs. So you'll see a tulip. This beautiful sign of God's creation will come out of that at the end of the winter. And I want you guys to each take one of these with you, because you can plant this in the ground as a reminder of God's trustworthiness, as a reminder of the hope that we have, that even on the darkest day of winter, you can think of that little bulb out there and know that God is going to bring that bulb up from the earth and bring new life. And just like that, you know, we can think of the dark moments in our lives and know that God can always bring hope, always bring new life into our lives. So each of you can take one of these, and I also have, I didn't want all the adults to feel left out, excuse me. So there are bulbs at each entrance to the church that you are welcome to take one or two of those with you and plant that in the ground for the same reason, so you can remember the hope that we have in the God that we worship. So as you take one of these, we give thanks to God on this day, okay? Thank you, guys. Here you go. You can take two if you want. I have plenty. Thank you guys so much. And now we'll continue to praise God by singing the hymn 527, Lord, Make Us Servants of Your Peace. That's hymn 527. I'm sorry, 229 is the correct hymn. Receive the blessing. Go now knowing and trusting in the love and faithfulness of God, with hope in his promises and thanksgiving for his harvest. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen.